Hello and welcome to part two of The Process and Me. My name is Dan Jocelyn, and this is the podcast examining the whole writing process from beginning to end. I'm a member of the Watchers writing staff. Hopefully you've already listened to part one, and if you did, you know that we're going to jump right in here with the plangasm. And that usually happens at the start of the year. It's usually right as the previous season is ending. Like, while the finale has just been posted, you start the plangasm. And people make, among other things, episode pitches. And everyone's pitch is different. Some are very long and detailed. I think David has a tendency to do that sometimes. Some of our other writers do as well. Mine are basically a long paragraph, maybe two. And they are, and sometimes they're a sentence. I've done those. I think Tokyo Nights was basically a sentence when I first proposed it. But basically, it's a brief description of the episode, and then you say why you think it's a good idea, you know, because this will help us explore Faith's character in this way, and maybe a couple cool things that you already know you want to do in that episode. Details. But not a lot of details, maybe one or two that you've already thought of. So lots of pitches get made. The good ones get picked. The not-so-good ones don't get picked. I've had a couple pitches that, you know, I sort of jokingly am still bitter about not getting picked. But I think maybe, you know, CN and company were right. One was called, I think, Legend, and it involved them going to an alternate universe that was kind of like high fantasy, and there was a castle, and Xander was going to be a prince or something, and there was going to be this massive demon army laying siege to the castle, and eventually a slayer was going to show up at sunset riding a unicorn leading a massive army. I was hung up on the phrase slayer riding a unicorn and thought, why shouldn't we do this? This is great. But I believe CN said it was what bad TV series do when they run out of ideas. And I'm not sure she was wrong. I also had another one called After the Fire that got started as a fanfic but never finished, involving Kennedy kind of having her magic go out of control and killing everyone prior to the episode starting, and then eventually at the end of the episode we reset so everyone's not dead, but it was very dark, and we eventually decided we weren't quite going to go there with Kennedy's character. There was a long time, I think, where we thought we might go somewhere like that with Kennedy, and it kind of ended up not happening that way. But, at least I thought we were, and that's how After the Fire happened, but that got rejected. So if you're lucky, your episode gets picked, it gets put on the schedule at a certain time, depending on where it might fit in the arc. Sort of a lot of times we try to follow up really serious episodes with comedies, you know, and that's really kind of a feel thing, how that goes. Some episodes obviously need to happen right before or right after other episodes, and sometimes you have empty slots on the schedule that only get filled later, and that's really a whole different process. One of the episodes where I was involved with where that happened was The Secret Life of DJ Trace, which was not even really a pitch. It was, yeah, I believe it was David saying, we should do an episode with a golem in it, and I ended up writing this whole episode that had a golem in it, but, you know, it was not really about that. So, after it gets put in the schedule, you start having discussions with other writers. You know, we talk a lot. We have an email board, a Yahoo group that gets hundreds, you know, sometimes per day of emails. But we also personally IM each other and have big conversations where we, you know, other writers, once they see your idea and it gets in the schedule, they'll have their own sort of twist on it and ideas, and they bring great ideas to the concept a lot of times. Sometimes you'll have several people, sometimes you'll have someone who takes such an interest in it that they end up co-writing it with you. Then the next step, once you start to get a little closer to the air date, you know, the first episode you start right away, and then, you know, sometimes you wait way too long and have like a week, but you break the episode. You know, breaking the episode is a term you'll hear writers throw around all the time. You hear it in DVD commentaries, and we who fancy ourselves writers do the same. Now, I like it as a term because basically it says what it is. You're breaking down the episode is what you're doing. You're breaking it down scene by scene, and you're figuring out exactly what happens. You're taking it from the idea stage to the actual being there stage. You know, it's you're deciding very specifically, you know, you're saying first he goes to the mall, and then he finds out that there's been a robbery, and then his girlfriend's also at the mall. I'm making that up as I go, and it doesn't really make sense, but there you go. The other reason I like it is because it's such a strong word, because you're really struggling with the episode. You know, it's you want to say to it, you know, I'm going to break you to my will, and you're like a wild stallion, and I'm going to ride you till you cry for mercy, or if you don't like my Texas bad impression, even though I was born in Texas, you can be the Soviet guy from Rocky something and go, I must break you. I think I like that one better. But anyway, what you do, you can do that by yourself, or you can do it via IM with a writing partner if you're co-writing the episode. Or, you know, sometimes even if you're not co-writing it, it helps to have someone there who's just, you know, can say, you're stupid every once in a while. You know, maybe not so personal, but, you know, it's good to have a second opinion. I'm sure everyone has their own style, but what I personally do is I start with the structure. I figure out what the end of my teaser, the end of Act 1, the end of Act 2, and end of Act 3 are going to be. You know, we have the teaser and four-act structure. And I figure out right away what my first thing is, what the act breaks are, because that gives me a skeleton. You know, a lot of times it's what are the main beats in the story? What are the biggest cliffhangers I have here? And how is that going to work? And because you really want to, you know, you want, unless it's a certain strange thing, you want the act to end on a cliffhanger generally. It doesn't have to be huge, but it needs to be sort of a doo-doo-doo thing that where you can go to a break. Then the next step for me is to get from one act break to the next in an interesting way. If, you know, your Act 2 break is, we find out the new guy is a demon, and your Act 3 break is, the demon guy holds a gun to someone's head. Whatever. You know, you need to figure out how those two are connected. How does he get from point A to point B? And that's really, you know, how you... And you want to do that in an interesting way, and that's how you get the scene-by-scene process. And it's really fairly simple in that way. You know, sometimes you're balancing different storylines, but that's the basic thing. Now I've lost my voice here a little bit. So, you know, a lot of the really cool things appear at that stage. If you have a fun idea, and a lot of things that people really love show up when you're breaking the episode, where you're finally, for the first time, getting down to the nitty-gritty. And so you do that scene by scene. And after you've figured out what your structure is, you can write that down, and that's our outline. I'm apparently famous for my outlines on the staff, because every time I write with someone else, they ask me to write the outline. Everyone has their own style. I basically, you know, in a few sentences, paragraph per scene, go through and just sort of describe very specifically what the action is. If it needs to have a certain feel, you want to put that in there as well. Location, you know, anything someone other than you would need to know to write that scene, because that's really a lot of times what it's for. It is for it is the one of the purposes of the outline is so if you end up not writing this, someone else can write it for you. And that's really been helpful to us lots of times and help us defeat what some of us call the Watcher's Curse, because the outline's been out there. And I think there was a period where they didn't do that, and they ran into some trouble. But now most of the episodes you see the outline beforehand, which is really nice. As I said, everybody has their own different styles. Sherry likes to color code hers, which is interesting, and we like to kid her about her different colored pens. She's not even consistent about what she's color-coding them about, so we like to joke with her. This also, you know, what you want to do with one of the main reasons for an outline is so you have a plan, you don't get bogged down, you know what the next scene is, and I like to often sit down and say, I'm going to write a scene, and then I can watch TV or whatever. You know, it's a system I use to sort of get things done is okay, we're going to write a scene now. And that's sort of the unit I go by. And the outline allows you to do that. And it sort of keeps you from going way too long and spiraling off into oblivion, too. Or at least, hopefully, most of the time it keeps you from doing that. It's not always foolproof, as some of us on the staff can attest to. You know, some of the episodes, I've written episodes for where I didn't really write much. I've written outlines for episodes where I didn't really write much. I've written outlines for episodes that I wrote part of them. I've written outlines for episodes that were just all mine. So, then you get to the actual writing, which is what most people think of when they say writing. And a lot of people just kind of, when they want to write something, just jump into the start of the writing, and then it never gets finished. And I've had things I've never gotten finished. But it's a lot more likely that something will get finished if you know where you're going first. It helps way more than you'd think it would. And so the actual writing is only a very small part. But you do find many things in the writing that aren't even in the outline. Big things sometimes when you're down there writing the dialogue that suddenly are what happens next that you weren't anticipating. I just finished an episode reboot that would just aired, so to speak, where we have a death of one of the characters. I mean, not to be too spoilery here. I mean, not one of the major characters, but, a character that we had seen before. And that was not in the outline or any other stage of the process until I was actually writing the scene. And I said, you know what? Let's just kill him. You know, I had sort of, I was going through scenarios where, you know, they're hanging off the edge of the cliff and someone pulls them back up. And I said, you know, no, you know what? They're done. So, of course, you know, that's obviously where you get dialogue. You know, if there's a specific joke, most of the time you get it in the writing. Everyone's style is different. I can tell just, you know, reading it, which member of the staff wrote it, because we all have different styles. You know, Rob and I are very, very different from CN, from David. So it's everyone has their own style. And it's pretty cool, actually, that that's true. But it's also cool that the readers can't always tell, because if they could, that would be weird. You know, things from your life seep in as well, you know, and if I do commentaries for the individual episodes, I'll be able to give you specific examples of that. But I personally, having been from Cleveland, have found a lot of little instances in my life that have gotten in little places and things like that that get put in this stage. Now, you know, like I said, this is what people think of when they think of writing, but it's actually only one step in a long process, and even then, it's not the final step. Then, when you finish your first draft, it gets submitted to the group. Everyone reads it, hopefully, or at least a lot of the people read it. CN goes over it, other people go over it, and if there's any major problems, they say so. I think I tend to say so more than most people, which is interesting, and hopefully everyone doesn't hate me. We were just having a fight about an episode, you know, just yesterday. So, you know, that happens all the time. And after sort of decide what needs to be changed, and sometimes it's almost nothing. Sometimes you just need a few additions. Sometimes it's, you know, the whole thing needs to be completely rewritten. Hopefully not, you know, it's easier than that sounds. But then you get to rewrites. CN is the one who does rewrites most often. She will sort of bring everything into line because she definitely reads everything. But, you know, other times other people will do it as well. A lot of times I've written one scene for episodes that I felt was needed. There was a season 3 episode called Very Bad Ideas where I felt it just needed this one other scene to really emphasize a point. And I wrote the scene and it got stuck into the episode, but I was not involved in any other step in that process other than, you know, being a member of the staff and adding little ideas. Other times it's just snippets of dialogue that get added, things like that. Then it goes to the first edit. Sherry does that most often. Sometimes Dragonrider 17 is her screen name. Sometimes others do that as well. You know, she's a writer. She's very busy. I have done that once or twice, but I get picky, so people don't like me. Sort of simultaneously, the art starts getting done by the great art staff, and that's a whole other process that I am less involved with. Talk to Robert Kidman about that. And then, you know, CN or Susan, depending on who's busy, puts the pages together. And then, you know, I generally, or Rob or someone, will go over it again in the final state to make sure they didn't mess anything up, to make sure the editor didn't miss anything, and to make sure we like it. This is where I go through Rob's episodes and take out the British slang, and we argue about what's British slang and what isn't. Or, you know, it. Or this is also where I like to add lots of commas, and Sherry and I get to fight over where a comma should be and where a comma shouldn't be. And then the episode finally gets to air. So I know this is running a little longer than I had planned. Hopefully it's still doable is one thing. And there you go. That is the episode process. And that is why when we ask you for comments and things, we're like, we worked really hard on it, because it's not just the writing process. It's a whole other, you know, it's a process that takes a long time from beginning to end and requires us sort of going over the story a lot of times. I often find that by the time I finish an episode, I almost don't want to read it again. Not because I don't like it, but just because I've read it 20 times already. And I just can't do it again. Which is kind of how I feel about Reboot right now. And that's why you haven't gotten a commentary yet on that. So I'm doing this more general one. Thank you for listening to my beautiful radio-honed voice. My name is Dan Jocelyn, and I am a writer for Watchers, and I couldn't be happier about that. Thanks for listening.